All right, so today we are diving deep into something super practical for all you software engineers out there. Behavioral interviews.
Yeah, those tell me about a time questions.
I know, right?
It can be kind of a curveball.
They really can. You're like acing the technical stuff, feeling good, and then bam, hit with like, describe a situation where you had to deal with a difficult teammate.
It's a whole different beast.
Totally throws you off.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with these questions? What are they really getting at?
Well, they're really trying to dig into those soft skills.
Soft skills, okay.
How you work with others, how you communicate, yeah, how you handle pressure, problem solving, all that good stuff.
So it's not enough to just be a coding whiz.
Yeah.
You got to be a team player too.
Exactly, because even the most brilliant code, right, it's useless if you can't effectively work with the team to actually ship it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do these questions actually reveal that?
They're trying to use your past experiences as a predictor of your future behavior.
No.
So they're kind of getting a glimpse into how you've handled real world situations that require those soft skills.
So it's not enough to just say like, oh yeah, I'm a great communicator.
Yeah.
You got to actually show it.
Exactly. You need to back it up with evidence. And that's where the STAR method comes in.
Okay. The STAR method. I'm intrigued.
It's basically a framework for structuring your answers to these behavioral questions in a way that's clear, concise, and impactful.
So it's like storytelling with a purpose.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it. Give me that structure.
All right, so STAR, it stands for Situation, Task, Action, Result.
Okay.
Let's say you get asked about a time you had to meet a tight deadline. Super classic software engineering scenario.
Tell me about it. Every sprint feels like a race against the clock.
Right. So you would start by setting the scene, the situation. Maybe it was a crucial app update right before a major conference, and you were facing unexpected bugs that threatened to derail the whole launch.
Okay, set those stakes high.
Exactly. Paint that vivid picture for the interviewer.
Got it. So then you've got to explain what you did right.
Right, but it's not enough to just blame the bugs.
Right.
You then outline your specific task in that situation. What was your responsibility? Were you the lead developer tasked with fixing those showstopper bugs? Were you coordinating with QA to expedite testing? Be really specific about your role.
Okay, so we've set the scene. We've highlighted our role in this whole drama. What's next?
Now you get to the action.
Pick of the action.
This is where you shine. What specific steps did you take to tackle that challenge? Did you pull an all-nighter to debug that elusive error? Did you come up with an innovative workaround to bypass a critical issue? Don't be afraid to get a little bit technical here. Show off those problem-solving skills.
So instead of just saying, I fixed the bugs,
yeah,
you're walking them through your process, your thinking, your actual approach to the problem.
Precisely.
Okay.
And finally, you wrap it up with the result. Did you ship that app update on time? Did it receive rave reviews for its stability? Did your quick thinking save the day at the conference? Quantify that success whenever possible.
I like it. So you're painting this picture of you in action and how you actually get things done.
Exactly.
It's not just about what you did, but how you did it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how powerful this method can be. It's really about showcasing your process.
Yeah.
And how you approach challenges.
Absolutely. And it helps the interviewer really understand your thought process.
Okay.
Which is so valuable. They want to see how you analyze situations, how you make decisions, how you learn from your experiences.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So do you need like a perfect STAR story
mm-hmm.
prepared for every single behavioral question out there? What if you draw a blank?
That is a great question. And honestly, trying to memorize like a whole script of perfect stories can actually backfire.
Oh, really?
It can't. Yeah. It can make you sound robotic and inauthentic.
Right.
Like you're just regurgitating something you memorized.
Okay. So what's the alternative? Just winging it completely?
Not exactly. Roll. While you don't need like a pre-packaged story for every single question, it is helpful to reflect on your experiences beforehand and identify maybe a handful of situations that really demonstrate those key soft skills. We talked about teamwork, communication, problem solving, adaptability.
So it's kind of like having a mental toolbox of go-to examples.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And remember, these stories don't have to be about like monumental projects or these earth-shattering achievements.
But
sometimes the most relatable and impactful stories come from those everyday challenges we all face as software engineers.
Like that time you had to debug someone else's messy code. We've all been there.
Exactly. Or that time you had to convince your team to adopt a new technology or a new approach.
Yeah.
Think about those moments where you really had to flex those soft skills to navigate a tricky situation.
Okay. So let's say a question really throws me off guard and I can't immediately recall like a perfect example. What then?
Don't panic. It's perfectly acceptable to take a moment to gather your thoughts.
Okay.
You could say something like, that's a great question. Let me think for a moment about a specific example that highlights, and then connect it back to the skill that they're looking for.
So it's okay to pause, collect your thoughts, make sure you're really addressing the heart of the question.
Absolutely. It shows self-awareness and that you're genuinely considering the question rather than just like firing off a canned response.
That's good to know. That's reassuring. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier the importance of tailoring your answers to the specific company and role.
Right.
How do we do that effectively without sounding like we're just like regurgitating their website copy?
Research is key here.
Okay.
Take the time to really understand the company's culture, their values, and the specific requirements of the role that you're interviewing for. Look for clues in the job description on their website, even on their social media channels.
So, for example, if a company really prides itself on its collaborative culture, I should highlight examples of successful teamwork and communication in my answers.
Exactly. Or if they're a fast-growing startup, you might emphasize your adaptability, your ability to learn quickly, and your comfort with ambiguity. The key is to really align your experiences with their needs and their priorities.
This is making me realize that prepping for a behavioral interview is almost like a research project in itself.
You could say that, but it's time well spent.
Yeah.
By understanding what matters most to the company and aligning your stories accordingly, you're demonstrating not just your skills, but also your genuine interest and fit for their team.
Yeah. It's like you're saying, hey, I did my homework. I get what you're all about.
Exactly. And that level of preparation really speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Even beyond like the specific stories you choose to share.
Yeah, it shows you care.
It does.
Okay, so it's not just about having the right answers. It's about showing that genuine interest and understanding.
Absolutely. Now, before we wrap up, I want to address one more thing that tends to trip people up. Talking about weaknesses.
So, yeah.
The dreaded, what's your greatest weakness question. Feels like a trap, right?
It totally is.
But it's actually a great opportunity to showcase your self-awareness and growth mindset.
Okay, I'm listening. How do we turn a potential weakness into a positive?
The key is to be honest, but always frame it within the context of learning and development.
Right.
So instead of saying, I'm terrible at delegating,
right,
you could say, you know, I've learned that delegation doesn't always come naturally to me. So I've been actively working on improving those skills. For example, on my last project, and then share a specific example of how you've been consciously working on that skill.
Okay, so it's about acknowledging areas for growth, but also showcasing the steps you're taking to improve.
Exactly. It shows that you're self-aware and committed to continuous learning, which are so incredibly valuable in software engineering.
Yeah, you're always learning in this field.
Right. Always something new to learn.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So it's like turning a potential negative into an opportunity to highlight your growth mindset.
Precisely. All right. So as we wrap up this deep dive on behavioral interviews, I want to leave you with this. They can seem daunting, but ultimately they're just about showcasing the awesome, multifaceted engineer that you are.
That's a good point.
You've got the technical skills, and by mastering these storytelling techniques, you'll be well on your way to landing that dream job.
This has been incredibly helpful. So to recap for our listeners out there, nail that STAR method, dig deep into those experiences, and tailor your stories to each company. And remember, even weaknesses can be framed as opportunities for growth.
Absolutely. Be authentic, be engaging, and let your passion shine through.
And on that note, we'll leave you with one final thought to ponder. How can you use these storytelling skills, not just in interviews, but also in your everyday work, to communicate more effectively and build stronger relationships? Until next time, happy coding, everyone.